Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
This week we have two parshiyos, Vayakel Pekudei, and we finish Chumash Shemois. Chumash Shemois defined by the Ramban as Sefer HaGolus VaHaGeula. And we will start the shiur with Psukim and Parshas Vayakel, and the other part, second part of the shiur, will be on Pekudei. So Parshas Vayakel starts once again with the mitzvah of Shmiras HaShabbos. And the most fundamental rule on Halacha in Malacha Shabbos is in this parsha. Ubacharosha 7 Amalais, Ubacharosha 8 Lasais, Bekol Malachas Machshabbos. Anyone that learned Masechet Shabbos or Hilcha Shabbos, specifically Malacha Shabbos, knows the significance of these two magical words. Malachas Machshabbos. Actually, in the Pasuk, it's Malachas Machshabbos. Most of the fundamental halachos in Shabbos, Dov Hashem Eschav, Malacha Shem Tzicha Legufa, Mekalkal Potod, Malacha She'enem Eskeyemes, all these halachos are based on the concept Malachas Machshabbos. To the extent that many people mistakenly think that these two words in Torah are in the context of Shabbos, which they are not. They are in the context of Malachas HaMishkan. So our topic today is Dumya de Malachas HaMishkan. There are so many halachas we learn Shabbos from the Mishkan, Klolim and Protim, the most broad general halachas, and many specific ones dealing with specific malachas. And today we will visit 16 sites. And B'derech Marshall, sometimes I feel like a tour guide that apologizes to historians, to the people he's taking around, and he explains to them, today we have a very busy day and we're going to visit 16 sites. So we cannot spend too much time on each of these sites. Let's hope we'll be back another time and we'll visit one site a day, two sites a day, we'll be able to spend more time. But today we're just having a brief look and moving on. So today we will just mention 16 different halachas, which are based on Shabbos, Dumya, the Mishkan. Number one I already mentioned, Malachas Machshavos. Minchas Asher Shemois, the new edition, Simen Tzadik Chet. There's an amazing essay, an amazing simen about Malachas Machshavos. And I discussed more than 20 halachas which are based on the concept of Malachas Machshavos. So that is one of the most general topics. Number two, in its generality, that we will discuss today. So number one is Malachas Machshavos. Number two, how do we know which malachas are prohibited on Shabbos? The Torah just says, Lo yisasu kol malacha. But the Torah doesn't explain or specify or give us an inkling, an indication, which of the malachas, how many malachas are prohibited. Shabbos Mem Tesu Medbeis, we learn Malachas Shabbos from Malachas HaMishkan. So the very fundamental knowledge, what are the malachas, we learn from Mishkan. And all the malachas that were essential and necessary in the building, in the erection of the Mishkan, in the manufacturing of Klei HaMikdash, those are Malachas Shabbos. Out of the 39,
Kol HaLashon,
only two are specified in Torah. Lo yisavaru esh b'chol moish v'seichem. And there's a machlokes tanuim, why is this a malacha that is specified? Either havora lalav yotzes or havora lachalek yotzes. And shvo esh tachtav al yetze ish memkoy moi b'yom Shabbos, which is malachas etzor. And Tosfos the Beis Medalef and Shabbos explains why is it so different? Malacha Gru'ah. So number one on our list is Malachas Machshavos. Number two is how many malachas are there and what are they? We learn Shabbos from Mishkan. Number three, general but somewhat more specific. Malachas She'ein Tzricha LeGufa Poto. Once again, as I apologized just 5 minutes ago, We cannot speak at great length on each and any one of these topics. I just briefly say, in the siman I mentioned about Malachas Machshavos, I explained, and also in Minchas Shalom Masechet Shabbos, what is the difference between Dov Hashem Eschaven and Malach Hashem Tzicha Lagufo? Dov Hashem Eschaven, the person has no interest about the result of what he's doing. He's aware he's making a charitz, but he has no interest in that charitz. Goyrer Odom Kisei Mita V'Samsa. Malach Hashem Tzicha Lagufo, he has a clear interest in the outcome, in the result of what he's doing. But there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, how do we define a Malach Hashem Tzicha Lagufo? According to Rashi, he needs the outcome, but a secondary outcome or a negative outcome. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos Shabbos Tzadik Dalad Nundalf explains, any malacha that is done and the person wants to achieve a result which is not the result that was achieved by Oisei HaMishkan, that is a Malach Hashem Tzicha Lagufo. What defines the concept of Gufo? What is the essence of Malacha is? The essence of a Malacha is always the reason, the motive, the result that they wanted to achieve when they did this very same Malacha, Bakomes HaMishkan. So any Malacha that is done in order to achieve a result, an outcome, that is not the same that Oisei HaMishkan wanted to achieve, that is a malacha she'ein tzricha legufo. So the first three on our list are general halachas. Number one is the fundamental understanding, what are the malachas? Number two, the most general concept of malachas moshevis. Number three, malacha she'ein tzricha legufo. And now we start dealing with details and specifics. Five different halachas associated with malachas haitzor meshus reshus. Rashuyo is Shabbos. How do we define reshus harabim? Rashi's opinion is very well known. Erev and Davav, once again, Erev and Daf Nun Tes. Reshus harabim is only if 600,000 people dwell or travel in that specific area. Shishim ribo kemo digle midbar, like it was in the midbar when they put up the Mishkan. That is Rashi's opinion. Tosfos disagrees. Shimem heisiv zayin tzemachlekes machaben ramo. The machaber is machmik kishitas the Tosfos. The ramo says our minig is lahokel kishitas Rashi. And this is a machlekes up to this very day. There are some that are very stringent about Erevin and others that are lenient. And one of the fundamental questions is Rashi and Tosfos. So, number five, another din of Reshuyo Shabbos, Ein Reshus HaRabim Mekurom. There is no Reshus HaRabim that has a roof. Reshus HaRabim is only a place that is not covered. Open space Ad Rakia Shamaya. And why? Because the Reshus HaRabim in the Midbar was without Kirui. It was not covered. And that is a halacha ledoyrois. So, this is a fundamental halacha as I explained. It is brought in Shabbos. Hey Omud Aleph, and once again, Tzadik Ches Omud Aleph. Another thing that we learn from Mishkan. So we're up to number five. Kasvu HaToisvis, once again, in Mesechet Shabbos Davav Omed Aleph, Hamavim Yishezuch Reshus HaRabim Derech Tzidah Reshus HaRabim, even if Tzidah Reshus HaRabim don't have a din of Reshus HaRabim, Chayev Mestoma Kach Hoyo B'Mishkan. So Tosfos says this halacha once again, Mistoma kach hayo b'mishkan. I promised five halachas dealing with haitzor. Well, I quoted three. Number four, hey omed alef. Anybody that learned perekame de Shabbos or shulchan aruch hilcha Shabbos knows moitzi mishus l'shus or mavi dal adamish b'sarab mezoni chayev al yedei akira v'hanacha, which means He needs to pick up this object in one rishus, carry it out, and place it, put it down in another rishus. Akira b'lianocha, Mr. A picked up a chefetz in a rishus ha'yochad. He walked it out to rishus ha'yochad. Mr. B snatched it out of his hands, and he is the one that put it down. Both are potul. Mr. A did akira b'lianocha. Mr. B did hanocha without doing akira. It is only if you are the one that pick it up in one rishus, put it down in another rishus. And you need to put it down on a solid surface, a solid platform that has dalet al dalet tefachim. If you pick something up from the floor, from a table, and you put it in a well, on a pond, in a river, you put it on water, that is not defined as hanocha. So the Gemara asks a question, Eges bekli bekli al gabi mayim. There's a box on water, the river, the pond, and you pick up an object, egos, a fruit, one rishus. You put it into the box, and the box is on water. Would that be defined as anocha or not? And the Gemara says, no. It's not anocha, v'potur. Tosfos on the spot asks, l'gabachot samalech esom bo metziyah daftas, we say that a boat, a ship, a ferry, a canoe, whatever it is not considered chot samalech es, because the boat, well, obviously we're not dealing with a motorboat. The boat is actually static. It is the water that takes it. It is the wind that moves it. That is not defined chutz amelachas. So why Gabi Shabbos do we say, when you put it in a box and the box is on the water, it is as if you put it in the water? Taisa's answer is, do me the Mishkan. Hanocher Mishkan was on the floor, on the earth of the land, not on water in any way. And therefore, do me the Mishkan. When other aloha in Elcha Shabbos brings us to Shabbos of Tzadik Dalat Chai, no, he says that's me. Person that carries a living creature, whether a child, person, or animal, a living creature, there is no chiyuv d'uraisa, only in Issa d'Rabban and Chai, no, he says that's me. Dead weight weighs more than live weight. When a person is alive or an animal is alive, it is easier to carry. And Tosfos says, what's the difference whether it's easier or harder? Even if you carry out feathers that bear almost no weight, why would weight make a difference in Malachas Eitzah? Once again, Tosfos explains, Dum Yedem Mishkan. What they carried out from one domain to another in the Mishkan were the Kroshim. Kroshim aren't alive. And that is why any live creature, there is no Malacha Diuraisim. So we're up to 8. We went through 50% of our sources. I said 5 sources in Malachas Eitzuah, now 2 sources in Malachas Koireya. The fundamental Mishnah in Gimel Lamed Aleph, Ovas Malachas Aboam Chosar Achas. One of them is Koireya Al Menas Litpoyer. 2 different approaches in the Rishonim. Why is Koireya Chayev only if it's Al Menas Litpoyer? Rashi says, that is the way it was in the Mishkan. You know, each and every one of the Lamatas Malachas is based on the Mishkan, as I mentioned in source number 2, just a few minutes ago. Where was Koireya in the Mishkan? Yiriyas HaMishkan. So the Yiriyas were like curtains. And if worms ate into one of the Yiriyas, and it's not Lekoid HaMishkan to have holes and infested by worms, so they cut out that section, and then they did Melechus Teifer, and they sewed them together. So Koireya Mishkan was Koireya Maslitpoyer, and that is why he's not Chayev, only Koireya Maslitpoyer. So Madar Rishonim say Mekalkel. If it's Koireya Shalom Maslitpoyer, it's a Mekalkel. The Nafkamene is Kriyas Tikun Shalom Maslitpoyer. So according to Rashi, Al Maslitpoyer is not because of Mekalkel. It is the essence of the Malacha. The basic definition of Koireya is Koireya Al Menas Litpoyer. Mishkan. Bi'alocha Shin Mem, I think it's Sifud Gimel, writes a big chiddush. Eina Koireya Chayev Elu Amken Avetikun Mishnei Atzdodim. That's where it was in Mishkan. So if you tear off part of a garment just to throw it away, that's not a chiyuv of Koireya, even though it's al menas litpoyer. It is only of the te'elis, if the benefit, if you want to use both sides of what you tore apart. So that is another halacha in Maleches Kareya that we learn from the Mishkan. So 5 and 3 is 8, +2 is 10, and we move on. A gevaldige chiddush from Tshuvas HaRivash, Simen Shin, Tzadik Dalet. And many, even Achroinim, I think, have a mistaken Havona in the Rivash. So the Rivash writes, Maleches Goizes. So Maleches Goizes fundamentally is when, you know, sometimes I grope for words. I'm not that good in English. So I don't know how you say Giza in English. Is it shearing? Something like that. Anyway, when you cut wool off sheep, that is Goizes. So when you cut the wool off the body of the sheep, the malacha is in the wool. You have no interest in beautifying the sheep. I think sheep look best when they have wool. That is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. And everyone looks best the way he was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you cut wool off a sheep, it's for the wool. But when you take a haircut and you cut off your hair, it's not for your hair, it's for your scalp. And when you cut the nails, you don't intend to use your nails. But nevertheless, that is a malacha d'oraisa of Goizes. So the Rivash is mechadish. Usually when we deal with the definitions, the essence of each and every malacha, a definition is one definition. Objects and things have many characteristics, but they usually have one definition. Goizes is an exception. Because both types of goizes were in the Mishkan. They used semer for tcheles, but they also cut the hair off oirois elim meudamim. They needed the skin of animals without the hair. So in Mishkan we find both forms of goizes, and both are melocha tzicha legufo. So the Achroinim understood from the Rivash that the Chiddush is chayav afal pi shezeh melocha she'ein tzicha legufo. That's not what the Rivash conveys. It's not what he says. There is no melocha which is an exception, and it's chayav afal pi shezeh tzicha legufo. Kiven shalocha kereb shema melocha she'ein tzicha legufo potor oleu. What the Rivash means to say, that Goizes has two different definitions. And it's regardless of whether you're cutting off anything that grows on the body of a Baal Chaim, of living creatures, is Goizes. Whether you intend to use what you have cut off, or you intend to use the body from which we have removed whatever we removed that grew on this living organism, on this living animal or person. That is a chiddush from the Rivash, which is once again based on Dumya de Mishkan. Mogen Avraham and Hilchos Yom Tov, Tav Tzadik Zayin Siv Kotnevov, quotes the Mashal. The Mashal is in Beitza Perek Gimel, Simen Beis. A gevaldig chiddush, probably the strangest of all the sources I quote today. And he says there is no tzeda min haTorah on fish, because in the Mishkan they didn't catch fish. And I wonder, what did they catch? Tachash? Nisiv Chaim on the spot, Nelchus Yom Tov Tov Tzadik Zayin. What about the Chalazon? Well, the Chalazon is a snail, not exactly a fish. But I wonder, in the Mishkan, neither did they catch elephants, or lions, or wolves, or swans, or flies. What's the difference what they caught? A general comment I should have probably mentioned in the outset of today's shiur. We will emphasize it towards the end of the shiur. When we say that we learn Malachas Shabbos from the Mishkan, it is in many levels. As I already mentioned, we started off with the most general and broad-based principles of Hilchos Shabbos. What are the Malachas? How many? Malachas Machsheves. And then we went into details. But it is only when we deal with the definition and the essence of a malacha does it need to be similar to Mishkan, not the details. So in the Mishkan, they didn't do much of hunting and catching and snaring animals. It was the tachash, maybe the chalazon, the afar piken, Mishnah Mefereshes, that's tzvi. They didn't catch deer, they didn't catch lions, they didn't catch wolves, they didn't catch... What's the difference what you catch? What's the difference? Tzeda is tzeda. Koisev is chayev. Does it make a difference whether you write on wood or on paper or on parchment? In the Mishnah they didn't write on klaf. They wrote on wood. That was the kloshim. So the Magen Avraham actually disagrees with the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is a Gevalda Yechidish. And the only reason I bring it today is just once again, Dum Yed the Mishkan. So we have many, many sources. Moichek. Machloik is Bach and Me'il Tzedakah. The Me'il Tzedakah is in Simen Chofei. One of the greatest poiskim, the Me'il Tzedakah, Rabbi Yoina Lanzdorf. He also wrote Kanfei Yoina and others for him. The Bach says Maleches Moichek, erasing, is not only when you erase letters and numbers that were written with ink. Even if Shava fell onto parchment, or dirt, or whatever it is, if you clean it away, al menas lichtoiv, that's the malach of Moichek, al menas lichtoiv. And the Me'il Tzedakah says, no, this is a mistake. Only letters or numbers or symbols that people write with ink or any other writing materials is moichik. But a piece of dirt or sand or whatever it is, there is no isur moichik. Three more sources, and now I think these sources chronologically are later achronim, and they are more significant to the point I want to bring out. So let me make a brief pause. L'choli, the concept we're dealing with today has no negiyah l'chol ha'maisa, but it definitely does. So when we deal with questions of electricity, electronics, microelectronics, bionics, and so many different technological developments and breakthroughs from recent years, the question will always be, Dumi the Mishkan. Is this in any way similar to the Mishkan? So right now I'm going to quote three Piskei Halacha from the greatest Achronim dealing exactly with this question. More than 200 years ago there was a big controversy in the Halachic world about the parasol. The parasol is what we call the umbrella. Is it permissible to open up an umbrella on Shabbos? Or would it be an Isra of a CSOIL? The Noide Biyuda Madura Tenyona, or Rechaim Semalamed, says, it's an Issa Diuraisa. Interesting, he writes, it was the Rav in Prague. People use this all the time. And I voice my harsh disagreement, and they don't listen to me. Interesting, today, no Frum Jew would open umbrella in Shul Salamim. But the Noide Biyuda wasn't successful with his Machot. Chasam Sofer Rechaim Simenayim Beis says, disagrees with the Noi de Biyuda, and he says it definitely isn't a Baruch HaDiraisa, and maybe it isn't even a Baruch HaDirabon. And why is that? Dumya de Mishkan. So in the Mishkan we had an oil kla, we had an oil arai, but there was no oil that a person carries around in his hand. That is so far from what they had in the Mishkan, cannot be considered the oil at all. And even though oil arai is an issur d'rabbanan, this might not even be an issur d'rabbanan. I just wonder why the Chasam Sofer doesn't deal with the Gemara Shabbos Kuf Lamed Chesamid Beis Hai Siyani. And the Gemara comes out, if a person wears a wide brimmed hat, it's a problem of oil. So according to Rashi, it's only the Havam and not the Maskona. According to the Tosis, it's even the Maskona. A hat is no different than an umbrella. You put it on your head and you walk around And everywhere you go, your hat is sure to go. And after began the Rishonim deal in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Chesum and Beis regarding oil, and the Chassam Sofer doesn't bring that source, but anyway, Chassam Sofer's argument is, an oil that a person carries around and it is so temporary is not Dumi the Mishkan, and it might not even be an Issur d'Rabbanan. Ben Doiroi, a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer, was the Biuda Asad, Or HaChaim, Simen Samech Aleph in his Tshuvos. He deals with a well or a faucet or whatever it was. And you have a lever, and when you open it up, the water flows. When you close it, the water stands still. But instead of using pipes made of metal or plastic like our modern day pipes, it was just a ta'ala. It was just like they dug into the rock, into the earth. It's like a chute dug into the earth, and the water was just flowing. So when water flows in natural elements, the water just broadens. Would that be a chashash of a shvuya gumish of malachas boinei? And the Biyud Asad says, because it's underground, not visible to the naked eye, it's not Dumiyah de Mishkan. And this is also a pele b'yeinai. As I said a few moments before, Dumiyah de Mishkan is an essence in the fundamental definitions. Why would it make a difference above the ground or under the ground? Whether you do see or you don't see, you know what's happening. So this debut, the Asad, Pelebeinai. Finally, what it boils down to is Chuvis Marasham Cherek Beis Reish Mem Zayin. 130 years ago, Gedolim started dealing with the question of using electricity on Shabbos, closing an electrical circuit. I spoke about this at great length. Minchas Osh Chelek Aleph, there are two Simonim, Chelek Beis, another one, and right now I'm working on Minchas Osh Shalosh Shuvos Chelek Daled, and there are a few additional Shuvos that I wrote about electricity. But the first two Gedolim that dealt with this question were the Beis Yitzchak and the Marsham, Gedolei Galitzia. Beis Yitzchak, Yored Dei, Chelek Beis, Mafteches, Siman Lamed Aleph, and Marsham, Chelek Beis, Reish Mem Zayin. The Beis Yitzchak, as very well known, says it's Moiled, which is an Issa Darabonon. Masham doesn't go into details, and he doesn't say what Maloch it might be. He only voices one argument. It cannot be the Uraisa because it's not Dumi in the Mishkan. So even though I have difficulty with the Chassam Sofer, I definitely disagree with Rabbi Yehuda Asad, I think the Masham makes more sense because electricity, you know, how do we define electricity? An invention or a discovery? Both a discovery and an invention. So man didn't invent electricity. It is part of the wonderful, unbelievable, complex world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for us. It's part of nature. But man discovered the ability to harness and utilize and produce electricity for his needs to achieve his goals. And it is definitely one of the most fundamental technological breakthroughs in the history of man. It changed the world in a million different ways, but it is in no way Dumiyah de Mishkan. Then came along the Chazon Ish says, Shash di Uraisa shel Boina, and then came along the Minchas Osh, and he said, Maka bepatish, I humbly say. But this argument is made by the Marsham, Dumiyah de Mishkan. So fundamentally, let me share with you my opinion. I think we need to be very cautious and very careful with the very concept of Dumiyah de Mishkan, as I said before. Because nothing we do today is in any way similar to the way we did it 2,000 years ago. This pen is not Dumiyah de Mishkan. It's a marvelous technological wonder. We take it for granted. But 2,000 years ago, scribes used feathers exactly like the ones we use when we write a Sefer Torah. What I mean to say is nothing we do today is Dumiyah de Mishkan. So whether we zero Malach HaShabbos? No, because the essence is the same. We write because we want to read. We tear because we want to sow. We plow because we want to plant. That is Dumya Damishka. So many years ago, the person that held the plow pushed it into the ground and the oxen pulled the cart, and today everything is mechanized. But Charisha is the same Charisha. Chorish al menat lezroa. Ktsira is the same Ktsira. You pluck the fruit because you want to eat. You want to put the fruit on your table. Ksiv is the same Ksiv, and Korea is the same Korea. The way we do it is totally different, but the essence is the same. And that is the fundamental rule. As long as essentially it's the same halacha, you wish to achieve a similar result, that is Dumya Damishkan. Even though what you see and what you hear and what you use and the way you do things is not at all similar, that doesn't really make a difference. So this is a fundamental discussion, and we touch 16 different sources and opinions. Ele pekudei ha-mishkan. Mishkan o'edis, Rashi says, why does he say twice Mishkan? Remez l'shtei mikdoshoi shenes mashkanu b'avonis em shereso. So let me make a general comment, because we finished Chumash Shemois. Five parashiyos deal with the Chumash HaMishkan. Tromet etzave kitiso v'yakar pikudei. Five parashiyos over and over again. My feeling is Tromet etzave is before Chet Uegel. Then comes Chet Uegel and Parashas Kitiso. V'yakar pikudei is la'acha Chet Uegel. Moshel lema hadavar daima. Person has a son, goes to cheder. He's a great kid, and he brings home great report cards. And every Erev Shabbos he brings home a pchina, and his Rebbe writes such fantastic things about him. Best boy in the class. Every test is 100%. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hundreds and hundreds. His father is so happy, buys him a huge gift. But before he even gave him that gift, something went sour. And his great boy stopped learning Bas Mother. And the hundreds became 98s and 95s and 90s and 85 and 80s, and the father was broken. And the father tells the Rebbe, I brought him such an expensive present. I think I'm going to give it back to the store. He doesn't deserve it. I can't give him the present. There's no reason. And the Rebbe tells his father, no, you're doing a terrible mistake. Don't give it back to the store. Show your child what you bought him. And tell him, Yankala, Yasi, Maishi, whatever your name is, look, I want to give you a gift. But in order for me to give you this gift, you got to put your act together. You gotta start learning Basmode again. And if you bring me five tests, 100%, this is yours. Take advantage of the gift you bought him. Don't give it back to the store. Don't lose hope. Trometet Savas before Chet Uegel, and HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, my beloved Kendalach, I'm giving you a gift. The gift is my Shechina. Build a Mishkan and I will dwell amongst you. And then comes Chet Uegel and everything falls apart and everything is shattered. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Does he destroy the Beis HaMikdash forever? No. It's like a mashkan. He takes it back. And he says, Kindalach, look at this beautiful Beis HaMikdash. Do you remember when I dwell among you? How wonderful life is. How meaningful life is. Please, it's for you. Take it back. You just need to put your act together. Bring me a few positive tests and the Beis HaMikdash is yours. Shtei mikdoshoi shenes mashkenu. Do you know what a mashken is? When a lender lends money to a borrower, and the lender wants to have some confidence, some security that he's going to get his money back. So he asks for a mashkan. I don't know what a mashkan is in English. He asks for a mashkan. So the Barbaror gives him, he has a Rolex watch, he has some Mont Blanc pens, he has some collector items, he has some Yudaike, he gives him some precious stuff. And the lender says, I'm not a collector. I'm embarrassed to walk out with a Rolex watch. I don't need this. I don't want this. I'm just keeping it because I want my money back. And when you're going to pay, I'm going to be more than happy to give you back your stuff. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kindelech, I don't need the Beis HaMikdash up in the heavens. Just pay, and I'll be so happy to give you back your mashkon. I love to dwell amongst you. The sky is mine, the heavens are mine, but I prefer being with you down there. V'yosi l'migdash v'shulchanti b'sreichom. It is like a mashkon. The lender doesn't want the mashkon; he wants his money. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu pleads with us, Kindelech, just pay your loans. Be good. And I will be happy to give back your mashkin. And what is that mashkin? That mashkin is myself, my shechina. Va'osu li migdash v'shulchanti b'seichem. Let's pay our dues. Let's be gita Kindelech for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again ושוכנתי בתוך בני ישראל. ושבזרח בקורא בימינו, תו השורס השכנת בני ימי סמקדש, כי ימי צייסכם מארץ מצרים ערנו נפלויס, במהרו ויומנו. אמן.
A whole world of content awaits you on Kol HaLashon, United Kingdom, 0208-191-7000, United States, 646-663-7920, Israel, 03-617-1095.